A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yung Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Kuf Chaf Gimel, Shabbos 123. But I'd like to start from the facing page. So we're starting on page 244, which is Kuf Chaf Beis 122b, about the sixth line where the perek begins. The new perek, this chapter, has to do with the laws of Muktza, and it begins. Kol HaKelim Nitalin B'Shabbos, all vessels can be moved on Shabbos, V'dal Sosehen Imahen, including their doors. If you have a cabinet, that's a detached cabinet, a rolling cabinet, and the door of the cabinet would fall off on Shabbos, what the Mishnah is telling you, Afa Pishne Sparku, even if it falls off, She'enon domim ledalsos habayis, because that door is not similar to the door of your house. A fascinating contrast. The door of the cabinet that falls off, the cabinet was a movable cabinet. It's not muktza. Muktza meaning off limits or set aside, not for Shabbos use, so you're not allowed to move it. It's not like that. You move such a thing on Shabbos, the cabinet gets moved, and therefore the door, even if it falls off, is allowed to be moved, because its entire status was like its cabinet. Not similar to the door of a house. Door of a house is not considered something we move. We've discussed this before, that even though it looks like you're moving it, but because it's on hinges, it's not called being moved. It's in its place. Its place happens to be rotating out, rotating in. But that's not called moving it. And just like the house is muktza, so the door of the house is muktza. So if the door of a house would come off, the hinge would break on Shabbos, that door would be muktza. Whereas the door of the cabinet would fall out at waf on Shabbos, it's not muktza.
Gemara is not talking about how big is a cabinet. I believe we learned a while back that the size... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Laws of Shabbos I was learning.
The size of the cabinet. That would be an interesting question. What happens if the cabinet is so big that it can't be moved? Oh. And if you start asking, what about a cabinet that's bolted in? I purposely steered clear, so we have a nice clean contrast. A moving cabinet or other utensil that its door falls off versus the house. Lefisha einan min amuchan, because they're not prepared. The door of the house was never prepared for such a thing. It was attached to the house, and no one ever intended to move it. Now, what would be if the door of the house did get detached, and you did think and designate to use it to prop it up against the open area? You know, like we do perhaps by a sukkah. You have an open door and you want some sort of insulation. The wind shouldn't be whipping in. So you put an old door there or something like that. So that would in fact be designating it for a use, and that would work. And some people actually attach some sort of string so that it's clearly designated for this function. But to use that door, if you designate it to close the same doorway, that would be something workable. Continuing in the laws of muktza, notalandam kurnis, a person is allowed to take a hammer, which is normally a muktza item, lefatzeya boeso egozim, to break nuts. Now, there's a discussion in halacha, assuming there's no nutcracker. If you have something that's clearly not muktza, you're supposed to use the non-muktza item. But if you don't have that, and you need the muktza item, so if it is in fact a keli, it's an item, just that normally it's used for a non-Shabbos use, you could go ahead and use it for a Shabbos use. Crack open a nut, a coconut, etc. Kardom, a hatchet, lachtuch boas hadevela, to break open a bunch of pressed figs. Megera logur boas hagevina, a saw to cut hard cheese. Magrefa, a shovel, ligraf boas hagrogros, to scoop out the figs. And the Mishnah continues with all kinds of other applications. Perhaps the most common is machat shel yad, at the end of the line, a needle that's used for sewing, lita boas hakotz, to take out a splinter on Shabbos. It is a keli. It's a vessel. I just normally would not use it on Shabbos, and therefore it's prohibited. But I have a legitimate Shabbos use that can't be done with a non-mukta item. I'm allowed to use it. And if you have the needle that's made to do sacks, which is a much thicker needle, liftach bo sadelis, if you have to pick a lock, you could pick a lock using it. The person could conceivably be picking up a screwdriver on Shabbos for a legitimate use, even if it's not life-threatening. You have an extra bathroom and you want to pop it open, so one of these tools might actually be usable for that purpose. Turn the page to today's daf. So we're on Kuf Chaf Beis Amid Beis 122b, pagination 246. I said that wrong. Kuf Chaf Gimel Amid Beis 123b, pagination 246. You'll see in the second Mishnah, which is about 15 lines from the top, Kol HaKelim, the beginning of a line, all vessels, Nitalim, you can move. Chutz min ha-masar ha-gadol, except for these very big, significant things, v'yaseh shamach resha, the peg, the actual plowing tool that is used and has no other use, and you designate it, you wouldn't want to use it for anything else. It's muksa machmas chisaron kis. You designate it because you would stand to lose money if it got damaged in any other purpose. It's not a versatile thing. A hammer is versatile. You could bang nails, you could bang nuts, makes no difference. These other things, and by extension, a shechita knife, a surgical tool, there are lots of things that fall into this category that would be off limits. By extension as well, when we start looking for cases, there are poskim who say esrogim, particularly by the dealer, would be chisaron kis. And you're not allowed to just show your storehouse of esrogim on Shabbos to somebody because you keep them pristine. You don't just hand them out. Likewise, if you have an item that has to be kept in good shape because you want to return it, it might also be categorized as chisaron kis. And there might be a muktzah restriction regarding it, even though it's clothing, there might actually be a muktzah restriction to it.
The borrow item.
If you buy an item and you want to return it, a borrowed item you're allowed to use. If it ends up looking a drop worn, I mean, it's not gone from one use, but whatever. But a perfect new item, if it would get just a little bit something, they might not want to take it back. It's no longer new. So that item, you keep it in its bag, and you don't show it off, and you don't wear it, and you don't do anything. You keep it in its bag with the receipt until you're ready to return it. That might actually be classified as muktzah. It's possible. Okay. Now, the origin of muktzah is assumed to be mostly dirabanan, some level of rabbinic. If you take a look at Rashi, he's actually quoting the Gemara, but it's just easier to read it over here. The end of the small lines. At the end of the line, Dibimei Nechemyam ben Chikliya bevayesheni gozru, in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, when the Jews came back from the Babylonian exile after the story of Purim, so Nechemyam ben Chikliya, who is the leader, legislated many of the laws of Muktzah. Al Tiltul Kol HaKelim, he went so far that you're not allowed to move all kinds of vessels. Could they ligdor geder, because he had to create a fence. Lahachme be Yisurei Shabbos, to be very strict in the laws of Shabbos. Mepnei Shem by Kilimba, because they were very lenient. And the Pasuk later on the daf describes some level of violation of Shabbos sanctity, some level of business was going on. And he wanted to be very strict, and he introduced the laws of Muktzah on an extremely strict level. What happened was afterwards, Hitiru, they were more lenient. They relaxed the legislation. V'chazir Hitiru, and they made it even more relaxed. And the Gemara over here on this page wants to understand what it was that they relaxed. Because originally, unless it was used for a Shabbos meal, you weren't allowed to move it on Shabbos. And they relaxed it quite a bit. So let's look at this Gemara briefly. I think it's the sixth line in the wide. So from the start of the wide lines, count down 5-6 lines. In the middle of the line, Amar Rava, Ella Amar Rava. Rava says, Hitiru, they were lenient. Dovah Shemalachto Leheter, if something is normally used for a permitted use on Shabbos, they allowed you, Bein Letzarech Gufo, to use it because you need it, a pot that you, a serving pot. A regular pot is used for cooking. That's an interesting discussion if it's a pot in your cabinet. But a serving utensil, Uvein Letzarech Mekoma, or because you simply need the place. You just want to move it because you need the place. V'chazru v'yitiru, and they were even more lenient, Mechamo Letzel, to allow you to move it from sun to shade. Now that's a dramatic leniency. The initial concept is that you want to use the bowl for its purpose. Then we're more lenient, so to speak, and we allow you, even if you need the place of the bowl, you can move the bowl. This level of chama litzel means to move the item for the benefit of the item. I have no use for the item right now, I have no use for its place, but I want to protect the item. Chamal itzel, sun to shade, means it's going to get ruined if it sits in the sun. A similar concept. I know I'm moving quickly, but if you're moving it inside because you're afraid it's going to get stolen, is also considered chamal itzel, from sun to shade. You're moving it for the purpose of the item. V'chazur v'hitira, and then they were even more lenient, and this is what we were describing in the Mishnah that we started with, Dava shamalachta le'iser, something that's used normally for forbidden use, le'tzarech gufo, for its use, or le'tzarech mekoma, or for its place. So a hammer is a legitimate utensil, but not for Shabbos use. Someone accidentally left it on the Shabbos table, you could move it off, because that's le'tzarech mekoma, for use of its place. Mechamo le'tzeil lo. But to move it from sun to shade, to protect the item, that you can't do. And that would be an example of a hammer outside that you want to move inside. Even if there's an Eruv, but you want to move it inside because you're afraid it's going to get stolen. That's for the purpose of the item itself. That's considered chama letzel, and you can't do that on an item that's normally for forbidden use. Yeshua Koach, have a great day.